Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 10, Conclusion of the Mahaprakash Leela of Lord Chaitanya in the house of Shivas Thakur, Shivasangam. Yesterday we were discussing the principle of the experience of higher happiness by taking the Lord's remnants. Mahaprabhu, after interacting with the devotees, and he was given some prasad and betel nut, that was distributed to all the devotees, and they became very happy. Mahananda, very blissful. And today we hear another example. It was spoken in a general way yesterday, that all the devotees, they took the remnants of the Lord and they became very happy. Harshita, Mahananda and Harshita, extremely blissful and very satisfied. And today, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's going to describe to us about one devotee that also received the remnants of the Lord. And that devotee happened to be his mother. So he's going to describe about his mother. So mothers can be very glorious. Mothers are glorious. Once when Prabhupada's disciples, some of our godbrothers, Prabhupada was discussing the seventh canto of Bhagavatam and about Prahlad Maharaj and Aranyakashipu, the demoniac father of Prahlad Maharaj. And in a room conversation at that time, during those lectures, then the devotee said, Prabhupada, my father's a demon. He's like Aranyakashipu. He's a demon, my father. One Western devotee, American devotee. So then Prabhupada said, don't say that. Your father is not a demon. Otherwise, how could he have you as a son or a daughter? So that's the point, that our parents may be displaying non-devotional characteristics, but ultimately everyone's a devotee, covered devotee. So Prabhupada was correcting our mentality to see our parents in a different light, to have some gratitude, appreciation, that they're actually special because somehow or other a sandalwood tree has appeared in that forest of pine trees, because one sandalwood tree makes the forest glorious by its fragrance. So the analogy is given in Puran that if one member of a dynasty or one member of the family becomes a devotee, that devotee is like a sandalwood tree. He gives fragrance. His activities, his devotional accomplishments, they give fragrance to the entire dynasty. Just as one sandalwood tree in a forest has such a powerful fragrance, such a powerful scent, that the entire forest will take on the sorab, or the fragrance. I mean the trees nearby that tree will take on the fragrance. So we've heard that different levels of devotees, when they die, if one attains prema bhakti, then when he dies, 100 generations of his ancestors get liberated. And if he attains Bhava Bhakti and all these different kinds of attainments, 100 generations, 21 generations, 10 generations, different figures are given how a devotee benefits his dynasty, his relatives, depending on how advanced he is in devotion. That's why there's different figures given, 100 generations, 21, 19, 10. So now we're going to hear the story of Narayani. Does anyone know who Narayani is in Krishna Leela? Anyone is up on these things? It's described in Gaura Ganadesh Deepika by Srila Kavi Karnapur Goswami. He's explaining the dual identities of the associates of Mahaprabhu, who they are in Krishna Leela and who they are in Gaura Leela. So Narayani, of course, someone's venturing, I guess. No, not Purnamasi. So Narayani, first of all, Narayani is the mother of the author of this book, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Narayani is his mother. So he's going to glorify his mother. And of course, she's very glorious. And we'll hear about why is his mother so glorious. First of all, she's glorious because she had Vrindavan Das Thakur, Vedavyas, as her son. So that's certainly glorious. But in Krishna Leela, it's described that she's Kalimbika. Kalimbika. If you know about Vatsalya Ras, the motherly love, sometimes devotees are asking, then you'll be familiar with the different associates in Vatsalya Ras who are assisting Mother Yashoda in her pastimes of raising her children, Krishna and Balaram. So, of course, Rohini is the mother of Rohini Nandan, Balaram, and Yashoda is the mother of Nanda Dulal, Krishna. But then she had various nursemaids who were assisting her. So the older of the two, there were two sisters. One was Ambika. Ambika is in Vatsalya Bhav. She's a nursemaid and she assists in the child rearing of Krishna and Balaram. She's an associate and a servant of Mother Yashoda. And her younger sister is Kalimbika. So coming in Gaur Leela, Ambika Gopi or Ambika Sakhi, she becomes Malini. Everyone knows Malini. Malini is the wife of Srivas Thakur. And even when Nityananda would go to Srivasangam, because Nityananda is basically Balaram, Hoila Nitai, say Balaram, so he would be oftentimes in Sakyaras, in Brajabhav. So when he would come to Malini's house, because Malini was about the age of his mother, or even older. She was quite old. And when he joined Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he was about 35 or so. Because before Lord Chaitanya advented, then Nityananda, he left Ekachakra and he toured India for 20 years. He was about 12 when he left. And he came here when he was about 35. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu was about 20 when he started his Sankirtan Leela, 19 or 20 years old. It was about 15 years difference. So Nityananda, he was quite grown up. And when he would go to Srivas's house, as you read in Chaitanya's same book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he would interact with Malini as if she was his nursemaid. He would say, "Oh, mother, mother, mata, mata, Ambika, Ambika, Amba, Amba." The word Amba means mother, Amba. Amba, Amba, mata, mata, I'm very hungry, please feed me. So then Malini would take Nityananda Avadut on his lap and give him her breast milk. This is quite astounding. This is called Achintya Leela, the inconceivable Leela of the Lord. Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Divya, this is the Divya Leela, the transcendental Alokic Leela of the Lord. Difficult to understand. But as in Krishna Leela, Malini, as Ambika, she gave her breast and offered her breast milk as a nursemaid to Krishna Balaram. In Gaur Leela, she did the same to Nityananda Balaram, Nitai Balaram. So that's Malini. She's the older sister, and the younger sister is Kalimbika. Kalimbika is also a nursemaid of Krishna. So Kalimbika comes into Gaur Leela as Narayani. Narayani is the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we're going to hear about her glories. Because we heard about yesterday, after receiving remnants from the mouth of Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, they ate those remnants in great ecstasy. Mahanande Kaya. Sabe Harashita. And the purport we heard, by accepting the Lord's remnants, we increase our service propensity. This is Bhakti Sanatha is telling us. There's a direct correlation between mercy and service. More mercy, more service. More kripa, more seva. More prasad, more seva. If we get more prasad from Guru, more attention, more blessings, more shiksha, then we respond. The soul responds by revealing its original nature, jivera surupaya. Seva Sarup. The Atma is made above. We hear that the purified spiritual beings in the spiritual world, like Srimati Radharani, their Sarup is nothing but Bhav. Mahabhav Sarup. Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani Ki Jai. So her form, her Swarup, her own form is made of nothing but Mahabhav. Her hair, her face, her heart, her mind, it is all Mahabhav. Transcendental. Satchitananda. But basically Ananda Sarup, Ladini Sarup. So the jiva, when a jiva is favored by the guru, when the guru blesses that jiva, that shishya, with shikshamrita, with the nectarine instructions, and blesses him with his lochandan, he looks at his disciple favorably and lovingly with his eyes. It's called lochandan. Giving bhav by drishti. Guru can give bhav by his glance. Lochandan. The charity of his glance. Aloka, it's called aloka or lochandan. Then hardadan, his heartfelt wishes. So when the guru bestows his mercy upon the disciple, his prasad, guru prasad, then that purifies the jiva, purifies the atma. Then the atma reveals his original sarup. An original sarup of the jiva is seva sarup. In a particular bhav. In sakya bhav, sakya rati, friendship, or vatsalya rati, parental love, motherly love, or madhura rati, conjugal love. So Bhakti Santa Saraswati is saying that when a devotee receives prasadam, it increases his propensity to serve. It increases his serving tendency. And practically we've seen that. Many people, they approach Krishna consciousness, especially in the West. What is the very first service that anyone usually does in Krishna consciousness? Yeah, you're correct. Rightly saying. He didn't say, he just showed by mudra. He said, this service. This says everything. This is universal language. This service. Prasad seva. Right? Sharira avidyajal. So this mercy of Krishna, Krishna prasad, Guru prasad, we serve that. We take that. And we take it. And then after that, more services expand from that. Prasad taking or honoring prasad is seva itself. But then it expands into taking up the nam. Nam seva. Vaishnav seva. Shastra seva. We start hearing a shastra. So this is quite correct. So now we hear about Narayani. And what happened to her. Her service began with prasad seva also. Mojanera avashesha. Yateke achila. Narayani punyavati. Tahase paila. The Punyavati Narayani, Punyavati. Punyavati means she is made of punya, of merit, sukriti, good deeds. The most fortunate Narayani received the remnants left after the Lord finished eating. Bhojan Avashesh, right? Bhukta Avashesh, Bhojan Avashesh. Shivasera Bhratri Sutta, Ambalika Angyan, Tahare Bhojanashesha Prabhukare Dhan. The innocent young girl, Narayani, very interesting, was a daughter of Srivas's brother. The Lord gave her his remnants. She is a Balika Agyan. It's very interesting. Balika, like Balagopal or Balagopali. So Balika, Baliki Agyan, Agyan. Little children, they don't have any, they're agyan. They have no knowledge. They have to learn. They go to school, they learn. Balika agyan. So the translation is innocent. Innocent or not knowing anything. She didn't know anything. Just a child. She was not a Chaturvedi or Trivedi. She was not Shastra Vidvan. She was not a Vedantist. Not a yogi or tapasvi. or Agyani.
She was a Balika Agyan, innocent little girl.
A very illustrious parent. She was obviously a daughter of a Brahmin. Srivas Pandit's brother was her father. So she was a Brahmin. But her good fortune is Bhojan Shesha Prabhu Kare Dhan. Bhojan Shesha Prabhu Kare Dhan. That Mahaprabhu, he gave that dhan, he gave the charity of his Mahaprasad. So now what happens? What happens when one gets Mahaprasad of Mahaprabhu? Paramanande Kaya Prabhura Prasad Sakala Vaishnavatanre Kari Ashirvad. She, Paramananda Kai, she ate that Prabhu's prasad. Prabhu's prasad, Mahaprabhu's prasad, she ate Kai. Paramananda, with the topmost transcendental ecstasy and bliss. And observing how she was relishing that Mahaprasad, what did all the Vaishnavas, Sakala Vaishnava? Sakala Vaishnava, Ashirvad. Ashirvad. They said, oh look, she's so fortunate. And they all gave her blessings. All the Vaishnavas blessed her as she joyfully ate the Lord's remnants. Danya danya ese sevila narayan balika swabhave danya ihara jivan. Narayani is indeed glorious. Danya danya ese sevila narayana. Because she engaged in Narayan's seva. Although she was a child, her life became glorious. Danya danya ese sevila narayan balika swabhav danya ihar jivan. Danya danya danya. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's going into ecstasy glorifying his mother. This is the devotional heart. The devotional heart has certain attributes. Bhakti Ridhoi. Like we have Bhakti Ridhoi Bhan Maharaj, one god brother Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Ridhoi. Devotional heart. Bhakti Ridhoi. Ridhoi. Devotional heart experiences ecstasy upon glorifying devotees. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's glorifying his mother. His mother is the most fortunate devotee. And when he's glorifying her, he's saying, this is a very small Bengali verse, Bangla verse. And three times he's saying, danya, danya. He's saying, she's fortunate, she's fortunate. Three times he says, my mother, she's fortunate. My mother, she's fortunate. My mother, she's fortunate. What is her fortune? She ate the remnants, Mahaprabhu Avashesh, Bhojan Avashesh, Kai. She ate the remnants of Mahaprabhu. And she got the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Sakala Vaishnava Shirad. This is Dhanya. Dhani means wealth. Let me say Dhani, Dhaniwala. Dhani, he's a Kaurapati. This is really wealth. This is a real treasure. What is treasure? Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, this is treasure. This is wealth. This is real wealth. What is wealth? Mahaprasad and the blessings of Vaishnavas. This is wealth. Everyone knows how valuable, everyone understands directly, consciously, how valuable is Mahaprasad. Right? Mahaprasad Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi. And especially today, we realize how valuable it is. Because many of us have nothing in our bellies. You know, we're fasting, we're performing Nirjala Ekadasi, and we've taken a sankalp. We've taken a sankalp that whatever sukriti or punya fall that I receive by observing this tapasya, that will go to my godbrother, Pujyapad, Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, so that he will come more and more quickly back to health and join all of us very soon. And it's told in Padma Puran when it's talking about Ekadasi Mahatmyam. It's a very interesting thing, let's say principle, to create a little bit of generosity. We as conditioned souls are not very generous. Udar. It's called Udar. Udar. The mood of welfare. The mood of generosity. Our Lord is magnanimous. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate.
Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nanne Gora Chase Nama. Our Lord is the Lord of generosity, the Lord of expanded heart, the universal God of love, Mahaprabhu. But we say, I'm a Brahmin, but actually I'm Kripan. I'm not Brahmin, I'm not Udhar, I'm Kripan. Kripana, my heart is very closed, I am very stingy, I am very selfish, I am not very generous, I'm very closed, I'm very sheltered, I'm very into myself, I don't care about anyone, but number one. But this generous heart wants to give. So in Padmat Puran, it's telling, if you perform any devotional brat, because there's different aspects, there's the sankalp, there's the brat, there's the sankalp, there's the paran, there's different aspects of it, of tapasya. The parameters and the yama niyama of the tap. Then there's the sankalp, and then there's the ishta, then there's the prartana, then there's the paran. And then the bratafal, like a shrutifal or bratafal. There's different aspects. So one very necessary aspect of tapasya is, of course, yamaniyam, which is timing, kaladeshpatra. But a very important aspect of tapasya is sankalp. Sankalp means the adjustment of the mental faculty, the fine-tuning of the mental faculty. Resolution. We say, my mental resolve, the affirmation, my mental resolve, we say resolution. I resolve to... So what it tells in Padma Puran, if one, for example, there are many types of bratas, if one is going to observe Ekadasi brat, oh my dear Lord, tomorrow is Ekadasi, it's Utan or Utpan, Utpan Ekadasi, and I want to observe this by your grace, by your blessings, if you give me the strength and the power and the mercy. Goptritve varanam tata, Goptritve varanam tata, that by your maintenance, by your power, by your kripa, we will try to observe this Ekadasi brat. And if you are very merciful unto us, we will be successful. Shruti fal, safal, we'll have brat safala, safal prapti. We will attain the fruit of this brat. So please, if you wish to give me any shruti fal, bratafal, any results or sukriti or punya or devotional credit or merit, if you wish to give me anything upon the completion of this Bratan Dwarasi during the Paran time, then I pray, my Lord, that you will offer this for the benefit of my beloved Guru Bhai. And Padma Purana is telling, if we make this sankalpa, that we want to offer the result of our tapa, or our austerity, to some other, for our father, who's not very devotional, for our mother, who's not inclined, for our brother, for our husband, wife, etc., for our children who are getting too wild. They get a little wild sometimes. I get a little bit, bring them back to the more humble devotional mode. If one takes this sankalpa, what happens? What happens is that the brati, the devotee who is performing that austerity, he gets 100 times the benefit of that brat. It's very good business. And the person who you're thinking of, or the person, your beneficiary, the actual term is beneficiary, he whom you are trying to offer the benefit, the beneficiary of your brat, he gets one full Ekadasi brat. So if we have 500 devotees, say, in this community, and maybe you're all doing it, I don't know, I heard there was something like this, and everyone is observing Nirjal Brata, and everyone is offering that fal to Srila Pujapad, Srila Jayapataka, Swami Maharaj, then he gets the benefit of observing 500 Nirjal Ekadasis. And each member of this community, this Sri ISKCON Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, They get each member, each Vaishnavi or Vaishnava gets the benefit of 100 Ekadasi Vrats. So it's really a good sale. It's really good business. You get 100 for the price of one. Very good. Buy one, get 100 free. Now who can offer a deal like that? You go in the store, buy one tube of toothpaste, get one tube free. You ever, sometimes they have these deals, you know. So this is Padma Puran. This is Puran. This is a Shastra, Nisheda, the rule of the Shastra. So this type of statement in Shastra, it promotes, or at least it intends to promote, a certain type of generosity of the heart. Unfortunately, generally, we think, oh, it's Ekadasi Vrata, I'm going to observe Nirjal or whatever our Vrat is, for me. Me alone. I need the mercy, and anybody else, you do your own Vrat. But this is not a very generous heart, considering we worship the Lord of generosity. We worship the Udar Thakur, the Udar Nath. Mahaprabhu is that great generous Lord. To one, to all, to young, to old, to everyone, Mahaprabhu gives his love. He does not restrict his love. He does not beggars, murderers, dacoits, any religion, any creed, anyone, yes, take my love. So generous, so kind, so munificent and magnanimous. Lord, we worship. So we would, if we haven't done today, then the next Ekadasi is extremely important. It's Mokshada. 2 weeks from now is Mokshada Ekadasi. This is the day, which you all know very well, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to liberate Arjuna from his illusion, Mokshadha. That teaching, that shiksha which gives moksha. Illusion is a bondage. When one is in illusion, he's bound. So to become free from illusion means to become liberated. So Arjuna was bound by illusion. He was playing a role. He was teaching all of us, but he was bound by illusion. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and liberated him from illusion. The first mukti is the liberation from illusion. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Krishna is telling this in Gita. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya. This is the first liberation. Mukti comes in stages. The first mukti is the liberation from the modes of nature. That's Guru's giving knowledge, which gives us the ability to transcend the modes of nature. Because when we receive bhakti gyan, we surrender and engage in devotional service. And then we become brahma-bhuta prasannatma, or we become mamcheo bicharena. Bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan simatityaitan brahma-bhuyaya kalpate. We become fixed in Brahman. Brahman means serving the para-brahman. Chobiskanta. Chobiskanta seva. Akanda seva. Sleeping is also seva. Sona. Sona seva. Nidra seva. We're resting. That's also seva. So then, we're 24-hour service. So this is a nice point. I would like to encourage everyone to observe Nirjal Vrat for the benefit of Pujyapad Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. I heard that everyone's already doing that. And please continue. It's having wonderful effect. And moreover, we have personally, because we're aware of this Shastric statement, and having a scientific background, and being extremely unfaithful by nature, an extremely agnostic and doubting person, because we come from science background, whenever we read Shastra, we want to put the Shastra to the test. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. You say, I say, and what do we say? So Shastras are making so many statements. So we have to do experimentation. Experiment with the Shastras. Make observation. There's thesis or hypothesis. The Shastras say this. If you observe, if you take a sankalpa on Ekadasi and offer the benefit to someone else, they will get it. They will get the benefit. Just like, for example, if you have a bank account. Of course, we don't have bank accounts. But say you have a bank account. And many devotees do. Even brahmacharis have bank accounts, believe it or not. So say a brahmachari has a bank account, or sannyasi or whoever has a bank account. And your mother, you're in Vrindavan temple. And you want to go Puri for the Puri Yatra. You have no money. So you call your mother in Calcutta. Can you put some money in my bank? Everyone knows this. So she goes to the bank and she makes a transfer. From her bank, she transfers money from her account into your bank account in Vrindavan. Everyone understands this. Or you get this VIP or this money by postal, some postal card or something. Your mother gives money to the post office. Then in Barampur, and then that you go, the postman in Vrindavan, he comes and says, oh, your mother gave you 200 rupees. You know, there's some postal money order, whatever they call it. So this is the same. If it can happen in the material world with some money, it also happens in the world of Sukriti, with transferal of karma and Sukriti. So we read this in Padma Purana, and then we decided to put it to the test. This was the thesis, the hypothesis. Shastras is saying this. Okay, you're saying that. Now let me do an experiment. Let me observe. I will make an experiment. I will observe what the results are. There's hypothesis, experimentation, observation, then conclusion. Yes, it's true. No, it's not true. True or false. So in about six different cases, I've advised different devotees that were having difficulty. They say, my wife is not into Krishna consciousness at all, but I am. Or another case, my husband, because we, of course, preach to so many grihasthas, and as sannyasis, that's inevitable, majority of the world. So then so many wives say, my husband's not into it, or husbands say, my wife's not into it, or they say, my father's not into it. I want to be a brahmachari in the Mayapur temple. My father wants me to come back to Calcutta and become a businessman, but I want to be a pakka brahmachari. You understand. What can I do to change his mind? What can I do to make them more devotionally inclined? So I say, well, you can pray. We usually say pray. Pray to the Lord, pray to Nityananda to turn his mind to devotion. As Nityananda's kripa turned Madhai's mind to devotion, and turn Jughai's mind to devotion. So Nityananda is Nityananda Kripa. We generally say like this, pray to Nityananda, pray to Prabhupada. But then I started advising him, yes, there's something tangible, there's something besides prayer, there's something you can really do for your parents. Start observing Nirjal Ekadasi Brat. And take a sankalpa that the Sukriti fall should go to your husband, that he becomes devotionally inclined. To some extent. So then, I advised these different people like this, congregational people or whatever. They started doing this, and then the results started happening. It happened in one case, and then a second case, and a third case, and a fourth. And now there's six different trials. These are clinical observations. Clinical experiments. Six different trials. I've done six experiments on the Padma Puran, and each one has proved successful. I'll give you one example. One lady's husband was, these are Hindus, right? So-called Hindus. And the husband goes every Monday to Shiva temple, and she wanted to be, she's interested in Krishna bhakti from her childhood. And she was raised like that and reading Gita and all these things, going to temple. She gets married, he says, forget it, no temple, I'm your temple. No Krishna, I'm your Krishna. Right? Husbands have that ego. I'm your Krishna, I'm your temple, worship me, everything's here, forget it. And he was so, whatever, he would not allow any spiritual books to be seen in the house. So when he would go to work, out of her almirah, her trunk, she would open the Bhagavad Gita and read it secretly. And as soon as he came home, she would lock it inside her almirah, you know, those lockers. Very secret. And she couldn't chant any japa in front of him, couldn't do anything. This is how much opposed he was to any kind of devotional expression. He didn't want to see a spiritual book in his house, this so-called Hindu, right? So she says, what to do, Maharaj? I'm married for 10 years to this crazy person. I'm going crazy. I said, try this. So she starts observing Nirjali Kadasi with a sankalpa, he gets a sukriti. And then all of a sudden changes started happening. One day he said, oh, would you like to go to the temple? The temple? What temple? Your mother-in-law's house? My mother-in-law's house? Your mother's house? That's your idea of a temple? Take me to your mother's house, my mother-in-law's? Because they lived in a separate house. And that wasn't joint family. No, I know you like the Hare Krishna temple. It's been a long time. She said, yes, 10 years. So took her to the temple. And then when they went to the temple, he said, oh, would you like a Bhagavad Gita? Of course, she already had one. So he bought her a Bhagavad Gita at the temple, as it is. And slowly, and she called me, Maharaj, you won't believe this happened. And then as the months went by, within 2 years' time, after a year and a half, the husband, this is the most extraordinary thing, he woke up one day and he took out a piece of paper at the dining table, where they eat breakfast. He took out a piece of paper with a pen. A very strange person, right? But Krishna makes people do strange things. Krishna's mercy makes people do strange things, like shave their head and become Hare Krishna devotees and leave their country and become Indian citizens and live in villages full of pigs and dogs and cow dung and like it. And Krishna makes people do strange things. We are all witnesses of that strange mercy and mystery and magic of Krishna. So now he gets out this pen and a paper at the breakfast table before he goes to his office. He has a factory. He says, listen, I'm going to make a contract. His wife said, contract? I'm not a businessman. I'm your wife. What is this contract? No, this is special. I'll write down this contract. I'll date it and I'll sign it. And you have to read it and you have to sign it. And if you go outside of this contract, then I'm going to take you back to your mother. Right? Heavy, heavy contract. I'm returning you to your mother. This is the husband telling the wife. So he writes down number one. You can read the Bhagavad Gita in the house. Number two. You can chant Hare Krishna on your Japamala in the house. Number three. I will take you to the Hare Krishna temple every Sunday for the Sunday program. Number four. Every month, once a month, if you choose, I will take you to Vrindavan. Five, you can observe Ekadasi Brat. Six, and he writes, and she called me up in the phone. She was like trembling on the phone when she called me up after he went to work. Maharaj, it's like she saw a ghost or something. I don't believe it. I said, yes, this is Krishna's mercy. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. This is a power. This is a potency, a shakti. Prasya shaktir vividaya shuyate sabhavaki jnana balakriyacha. That Krishna has unlimited potencies. One of them is this potency, which, to make it easier, if you don't follow that Sanskrit, it means to make the Krishna has the power and potency to make the possible impossible and to make the impossible possible. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. So this was an example of Krishna making the impossible possible. He turned Haranyakashipu into Hanuman. Can you imagine? Krishna turned her husband was Haranyakashipu. And by Krishna's shakti, he became Hanuman. He became such a good personality. Then, after 2 years, that was after 1.5 years, this contract. And after 2 years, he said, listen, I've made a lot of money in my factory, and we've been going to Vrindavan for 6 months, and I know you like Vrindavan, so I want to give you a birthday present. So he bought her a 20 lakh flat in Vrindavan and put her name on the deed. So now she has a two-bedroom flat in Vrindavan with her name on a deed, just in case she decides to change, part company with her husband. She has her own Bhajan Kutir in Vrindavan. So this is like phenomenal. This is a miracle. This is really a miracle. Like I often say to devotees, we don't believe in miracles. We believe in Krishna. Right? We don't believe in miracles. We believe in Krishna, and he performs miracles. Right? The Sringadeva or Krishna or whomever. So, and that was one example. I have five other stories also, incredible stories of people changing, their swabhav, their mentality, everything changing. Because the Shastras, we have to believe the Shastra. Shastriya Shraddha. So I've made six experiments with this one principle of Shastra, that the Shruti, the Bratafal, you can deposit Sukriti in someone's account, and that Sukriti will increase to such an extent that their mind will turn to Krishna in phenomenal ways. So I would like to present this idea to all of you, especially the preachers, to employ this principle in turning the minds of your husbands or wives or mothers or fathers or the people you preach to. I've only tried six times advising people, and every time it's phenomenal. And of course the story is there in the Bhagavatam about Yati, what is it, King Yati and Puru. He wanted to trade he was old and he wanted to become young again. So then his son, I believe it was Puru, traded his youth. He gave his Sukriti of his youth and he gave it to his father, and his father became young. Is it King Yati? I think ninth canto of Bhagavatam. So this is a fact. So I was a little tangential point, but I was just came like this. So now we're hearing about Narayani, that her life became glorious, and although she was a child, her life became very glorious. Balika Subhave Danya Ihara Jivan. Her Jivan, Danya Jivan, she became a very wealthy living entity. Even though she had Balika Subhav, she had the character, the nature, the mentality of a child. But by receiving Mahaprasadam, and by the Vaishnava Sakala Ashavad, by the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So you can see what the principle I'm telling you is, if we shower our mercy on someone, that's a form of giving Ashavad. To advise someone, or to take a sankalpa and perform ekadasi for the benefit of your mother or father or whomever, then that's your ashirvad, that's your mercy, that's your blessings. And they will become wealthy. That person will receive the danya, the dan, the wealth of your austerity, and they will change. Especially the brahmacharis. Many brahmacharis are very nervous. When is my father going to come and snatch me? When is my brother going to come and snatch me and beat me up and take me back to Calcutta? I ran away from I want to be a sadhu, I want to be a sannyasi, I want to go back to Godhead. A big problem for Indian brahmacharis all over India. Because the parents are so dead set against Krishna consciousness. So we have to change their mind. We're giving them prasadam, we're giving them books, and we're showing them movies, and we're doing whatever we can, but we can also try this. And this is very, very powerful. Because we perform, it's such a sacrifice. It's not a small thing. It's explained in the Puranas, in different yugas, different austerities were performed. And these were the required austerities of that particular age. And these were very difficult austerities to perform in that particular age. And if one underwent that particular austerity in that age, he would get tremendous result. For example, in Satya Yuga, The austerity was to maintain your prana inside your bones. That the people in Satyuga who lived to be 100,000 years old, the austerity that was recommended if you wanted to attain tremendous power, boons, or benedictions was to not eat any food, to not drink any water, and to not breathe any air, and to absorb your life air, your prana, into your bones. Dadichi Muni, there are many examples. Of course, the most obvious one that comes to mind is Aranyakashipu. But this was the recommended, because Satyuga was the age of yoga, Ashtanga yoga. So the particular austerity for the human race in Satyuga was to maintain your prana inside your bones. All the flesh would be eaten away by ants. there's no more air. You're not breathing, you're not eating, you're not drinking. And people could do it. Many, many people could do it. It was not that difficult. They could do this austerity. Hiranyakashipu was doing it, as and many. So then we come to the next stage. The next stage is Treta Yuga. So in Treta Yuga, the austerity was to stay in, not to put your atma or your prana into your bones, but was to live in your body, but to not drink and not eat and take and control your prana. To take one breath every so many months. We see that, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had performed this austerity. He was eating something. If you know the story of Dhruva Maharaj, his austerity was he was eating some leaves and he was drinking some water, but then he started controlling his breath. He didn't give up his flesh like Hiranyakashipu, but he's controlling his breath, and he controlled his breath in such a way that he choked up the whole universe. Everyone knows the story, fourth canto. So now we come into Dwapara Yuga. The austerity in Dwapara Yuga was to go without water. To go without water, 40 days or 3 months. You would eat a little bit of food, but no water. Breathe and no water. That was a great austerity, because water is called Jal Jivan. Water is life. So now now you come into Kali Yuga, and throughout the Purans it says, in Kali Yuga, the most difficult, the most incredibly difficult austerity in Kali Yuga is to give up eating food. The austerity of giving up eating food for 1 day or 4 months or whatever is the same difficulty as in Satyuga maintaining your prana inside your bone marrow. Like we think, how could I do that austerity? So now the Kali Yugites, the human beings in Kali Yuga, they have very short lifespan, 60, 70 years now. Was supposed to be 100. It's not 100 anywhere. It's already 70 years, 60 years. And we're so manda samanda matiya manda bhagyu padrata. We're so fallen and so weak and lazy that the Puranas are saying the most difficult austerity in Kali Yuga is to give up eating food for 1 day. For 1 day. So therefore, this Ekadasi Hari Vasara is prescribed 2 days for 1 day. Or 2 days a month, try to perform this austerity. And if you do, you get the same benefits as if you live 60,000 years inside your bone marrow. Inside your bones for 60,000 years, and the ants eat all your flesh away and make a big anthill around you. This is how difficult. When we tell people in the West that today's Ekadasi, we're doing a special religious vow of fasting, they say, what? If I don't eat, I'll die. If I don't eat, I'll die. Just like here, the Bengali Vaishnavas. On Ekadasi day, on the night of Ekadasi, they collect all the maha rice. They collect all the maha rice because in Ekadasi no one eats it. They collect it all, at least, and then they soak it in water. They get about 25 kilos of maha rice. Then they soak it in water with a little salt and some lemon juice or something. Then in the morning, as soon as the sun rises, there's like one tiny little encore, one tiny little kiran of light coming. When the paran, when there's 1 second into the paran, then they take that rice, hadival, and they eat this maha rice like anything. Because there's so much famished. They said, and I saw over there in the Lotus Building, all this rice was being stored. I'm like, what is this? Oh, Maharaj, we're going to break fast tomorrow with this rice. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You know? This chaval? And then I said, what's the program? I said, Maharaj, we're dying. You know, we're fast. Today's Ekadasi. There's no rice and we're dying. So this is a fact. Not only Bengali Vaishnavas, American Vaishnavas, any Vaishnavas. We don't eat for 1 day. We feel we're going to die. Isn't it? Is it right? Some people maybe say, no, not me. You may be a yogi or whatever. But the majority of people are not yogis. And they feel, so that it's told in the Puranas. I've done research on these points. That the greatest austerity in Kali Yuga is to give up food for one day. You can drink water. You can breathe. You're allowed to breathe. You're allowed to breathe. And you're allowed to drink water. Just give up food. And it gives a concession. Because the Ekadasi and Premivart, Jagannatha Pandit's Premivart, Ekadasi, when Mahaprabhu was here, everyone did Nirjal. And Puri Leela. This was the observance. And then when it describes the Ekadasi Brat, Ekadasi is described as a Brat where one gives up food and water for 24 hours, sunrise to sunrise. Because in Kali Yuga, the day begins at sunrise. In other yugas, the day began at different times. That's why people get confused. Does the day begin at Brahma Muhurta? Does the day begin at midnight? Because in different ages, the day begins at different times. By Titi, sometimes it begins by Titi in different ages. Then it begins at midnight. Then it begins at Brahma Muhurta. But in Kali Yuga, the day begins at sunrise. So the fasting of Ekadasi is sunrise to sunrise, Chobis Ghanta. So some devotees, they get up before sunrise, like all of us, hopefully, and they drink about this much water. They drink about 20 liters of water. It's okay, it's also permissible, but it's not exactly according to the Shastra. But they get up at 4 o'clock and they drink 25 liters of water. Then they do Nirjal Vrat. Okay, it's age, because, you know, Brahm, Vipralipsa, Pramad, and Karanapatava. The cheating propensity is very prominent. So we dovetail the cheating propensity in Krishna consciousness. It's okay, it's not the best thing, but it's okay. Get up before sunrise. So that's it, the fasting. It's from sunrise to sunrise. So therefore, when one observes this, what I'm saying is that the Shastras say the actual observance is nirjal, but then they make a concession. It says, and this is what it says in Sanskrit, if one is old, if one is diseased, if one is weak, if one is feeble, then he can fast, he can do nirjal until sunset. No food, no water, and after sunset he can take some fruits, falahar. That's if he meets these criteria. If he's old, if he's feeble, if he's sickly. But our Srila Prabhupada was so merciful that he said, listen, everybody, I know you're all going to die if you don't eat. So eat breakfast, eat lunch, and eat dinner. But make sure it's Ekadasi, Anukalpa. Anukalpa, Ekadasi preparations, Falahar, and peanuts and raisins, and Savadana Halava, and Kudu Atapuris, and this and that, and this and that. And eat nice prasad, and chant Hare Krishna, and preach, distribute books, and do full day service. So this is what Prabhupada gave us. So we follow that. But if we want to do something extra out of karuna, out of compassion to help others, of course we get 100 times the benefit. Anything we do more, we get more. If we do more chanting, we get more benefit. We do more study, we get more benefit. Prabhupada never said do less. He never said do less chanting, do less austerity, do less reading. If you can do more, very nice. There's a letter you can see, everyone has a computer, everyone has folio. Look under Nirjal. Someone said, Prabhupada, we're doing Nirjal. Prabhupada said, if you can do Nirjal, that's a great austerity, that's very good. The letter is there. But he didn't make that the rule for the society. We all know that. And I'm not advocating. I'm just trying to illuminate some of these different points. Especially when our beloved Gurudev or Guru is in some difficult situation. He's giving us opportunity to become a little more austere and become more purified and also show our compassion. In other words, what is our Guru given to us? Can't we sacrifice one day's food and water to try to pay back the eternal debt to our Guru? Okay, our stomach hurts, my mind hurts, I have stomach pains. Okay, but how much pain my guru has taken from me to liberate me? How much pain my guru has undergone to preach to me and save me? I can't undergo a little belly pain, a little headache. I get a headache and it's like splitting my head in half. Anyway, it's only a few more hours. Like this. So, I guess we'll hear about Narayani. Narayani is... is just waiting for us to speak more about her. She's a Balika Svabhav. She's innocent. Balika again. She's innocent, so she's very tolerant of our not paying attention to her. But she's in good shape, actually, because she got the blessings of the Vaishnavas, and she got the Mahaprasad from the Lord. And her son is Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we'll read more about her tomorrow. Is there any questions about this principle that I spoke about? You can see on a Google or internet that you can just type in biological time clock. Type in biorhythms or biological time clock. And all these scientists and doctors, they've done studies when is the best time to eat and food and drink water, because different organs are acting at different times of the day. And, you know, the liver, the kidneys, the gallbladder, they're resting and acting, so one should be to rest. It basically says one should be resting by 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, which everyone is around here. Because if you're not resting by 10, because at 10 o'clock the liver starts nourishing it, rebuilding itself. So if you're up at 10 o'clock, the liver can't properly build cells. And at 11 o'clock the gallbladder starts building at 11 o'clock at night. So if you're up at that time, then your internal organs are not getting proper. You're upsetting the function of your internal organs, and they cannot reproduce cells and grow properly and maintain properly. Maybe you're saying that. Basically, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here, I think everyone takes rest by 8 o'clock or something. 7 o'clock, I don't know. Yeah. He's asking, you said you wrote an article, Vishuddhasattva? Oh, he read. The same thing. You go on Google and internet. There's all kinds of stuff. They've done all kinds of studies about this. I saw it myself. I was looking for something else and I saw it. I wrote it in one of my notebooks in Vrindavan. Yes. The question is, if you do too much tapasya, you become hard-hearted. That's a fact. But our tapasya is service to the Lord. So if you're a jnani, because in 11th canto it says that bhakti is not for someone that's too attached or too detached. Very interesting. There's one verse. If one is too attached to sense gratification, he can't take up bhakti. And if one is too detached, because his heart is hard and he's too much pride. So the middle road is the best. So in this regard, that it's not correct. The too much devotional austerity does not make the heart hard. Because the devotional austerity is you're chanting 64 rounds a day and you're reading Bhagavatam all day. So these are the ways to soften the heart. Because you're not sleeping. You're doing jagran. Oftentimes in Vrindavan, we stay up all night. We stay up all night with a group of devotees, so our hearts become very soft. Everything becomes soft. By the time sun rises, they were melting on the floor. Our mind is softer. Everything becomes softer. Dance all night, chant all night. Also, you do here. I hear you also do jagran here. So, our personal experience is your heart becomes very soft. Because ours is devotional austerities. Remember, austerity makes you become proud. And that pride also, you lose the results of your austerity when you become proud also. But the pride stays and the results go. You do some austerities, then you become proud. I did these austerities. Then you go tell everybody about it. Then you lose the results. So the pride stays and the fall leaves. You know, the benefit leaves. So devotees, they perform devotional austerities. They stay up all night and don't drink or eat. And they chant and dance and read Shastra and read and give Harikatha for 6 or 8 hours. And their hearts become soft. And they become so soft, they become very quiet about it. Someone says, "Oh, what do you do in your Jyotirali Kadasi?" "No, I don't do anything like that." You know, you're just quiet. You just be quiet. Because when a devotee's heart becomes soft, one of the proofs that your heart is becoming soft is you're becoming amanina manidena. Amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. That you're giving all honor and respect to others and you don't want any respect or honor for yourself. This is the proof of a soft heart. One becomes amani. Man means self-respect. It has different meanings, but man generally means that. So when Radharani's self-respect is insulted, she's called manini. She goes into man. She shows an unfavorable attitude towards Krishna because she's been disrespected. her self-respect. Hey, I'm the best gopi. I please you more than any other gopi. And I got the, you didn't come to see me. I got the report from Manjubhashini, from Shubha, my pet parrot, told me that you went off in Padma's Kunj. Oh, myself, you insulted my self-respect. I feel insulted. So then she goes into what's called man. It's a type of love and separation. And she's known as Manini Radha. Manini Radha. So, the humble heart, the softened heart, all respects to others. No respect for me. Don't worry. Just the opposite. The converse will happen. If we perform more and more devotional austerities, our heart will become softer and softer and softer. I'm saying this out of realization. And this is the real way to preach. Yeah, I know what you're getting. They'll kill you. They'll kill you if you bathe before them, right? The Nagnabhavas. They do so many austerities. But if you try to bathe, because I was twice in Kumbh Mela, if you try to enter the Ganga before they do, they'll take out their tridents. Thong! They'll kill you right on the spot. Hey, who do you think you are? I'm supposed to bathe first. I'm the Nagna. I'm the Nagabhava, Nagnabhava. So much pride. Whoa, maybe you saw it. There were too much. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing Nirjal Ekadasi. Prem Vivart by Jagannanda Pandit. Every time. And I really like the way Lord Chaitanya performed Ekadasi. Unfortunately, I can't follow in his footsteps. He would stay up all night hearing about Harikatha and chanting or dancing. In the early days, chanting and dancing. Later, hearing Harikatha and Gambira. And then in the morning, for breakfast, they would eat all Mahaprasad of Jagannath. They would save the whole day's offerings. Kashi Misha would save the whole day's offerings and keep them on the shelf in the Gambira, on the one, you know, they have these shelves around the roof, you know, the wall on the shelf. Chapan Bog, a whole day's offering, 56 different preparations. Kheer and rubri and five kinds of rice. Ginger rice and khichdi rice and sweet rice and ghee rice and spicy rice. 5-7 kinds of rice. The Jagannath eats, and plain rice, and sweet dal, and regular dal, and this and that. 56 different preparations. And they would all night long chanting, dancing, Harikatha, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then in the breakfast, everyone would break Ekadasi with Chapan Bhog. Now that's the way to observe Ekadasi, isn't it? Unfortunately, when we break Ekadasi, we have lemonade. We have Chapan Bhog lemonade. Some nibu pani, some pani with nibu, some Ekadasi salt. This is our breakfast. At least I meditate on Lord Chaitanya's lila of eating chapan bhog. So that's like nice way to go. So tomorrow we'll hear more of the glories of Vrindavan Das Thakur's illustrious mother, Narayani. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai.